Welcome to the CIO Evolution. In this podcast, we'll explore the Chief Information Officer's role in executing a new ongoing leadership imperative, digital transformation that promotes agility and resilience. How do CIOs upgrade legacy networks? What are the financial challenges CIOs face? And what are the security measures that are required in the new work from anywhere, mobile and cloud-based world?
Thank you for joining us. I'm Chris Jablonski, Director of CXO Revolutionaries and Community, and the host of the CIO Evolution podcast. Today, we're honored to be joined by two industry-leading veterans in cybersecurity, digital transformation, and private equity. Akshay Grover, the Global PE Practice and Advisory Alliances Lead at Zscaler, and George Simons, VP Strategy and Transformation for Cloud, Infrastructure, and Security at Persistent Systems. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, let's now turn to the topic of private equity and cybersecurity. PE firms are always under pressure to fortify and modernize their infrastructures and their portfolio companies with the best possible security posture. Today, we'll explore how you can effectively secure architectures. Let's first start with why PE firms need to pay more attention to cybersecurity. Akshay Grover, how about you help us set the stage for the topic? What have PE firms and portcos been doing to preserve value and protect their businesses from cyber threats?
Chris, this is a very good foundational question, and I'll answer the question with a question. So tell me more. What's common between the following? I'll take some names for you. MGM Entertainment, Caesars, Clorox, JCI, First American Financial, and Lone Depot. What do you think, Chris? What's common?
Well, Akshay, all those companies you listed were recently breached
and suffered huge financial losses in the past 6 to 9 months. This is just a short list of companies that got breached. This is not the full list of companies that got breached. So you can imagine as to the beyond the financial losses, they also encountered a lot of reputational loss and brand dilution as a result of that. So things are not just restricted to public companies like what I laid out just now. An average PE firm suffers a minimum of 2 to 3 cyber incidents each month, at least one exploit per year. And it is predicted that an average of 1 in 4 middle market firms will fall victim to a cyber breach in each year. So this story doesn't stop here, Chris. You may be aware that the average cost of a cyber data breach is $4.2 million. And the time spent to identify, resolve is about 245 days. These are startling numbers. These kind of numbers, if you think about it, they pose business continuity risk, they pose investment risk, reputation risk, and more so regulatory risk, which is coming. And alongside the material EBITDA impact that we talked about. Now, you may have also heard about the new SEC regulation that just came out a couple of months back, wherein there is a strict breach disclosure requirement that have been imposed on public companies. Now, public companies have to report any cyber breach within 4 days of the incident happening. Now, you may say that, oh, that doesn't apply to private equity. This is only for public companies. But, more and more private equity boards and GPs and LPs are getting increasingly concerned about this new regulation, and they are going to be preparing themselves to address that in for their own portfolio companies as well. So now, I think one of the questions that you asked was, how are private equity firms dealing with that? So a couple of things that they're doing. One, they're all starting their cyber programs. And what does that mean? They're baselining the portfolio company maturity, and they are looking at periodic assessments. They're testing and monitoring the portfolio company's infrastructure and security architecture, and trying to have more of a dedicated and harmonized team to help provide them with ongoing assurance, whether it's from a technology and expertise perspective or hiring any third-party advisors who could help them with that. So Chris, that's what is going on in the private equity world right now.
Akshay, thank you for setting the stage so nicely for us. George, let's turn over to you now. So portcos traditionally operate very lean. They have a limited IT budget. I saw some figures that around 30% have less than 30 IT resources, and about 40% have less than $250,000 available for cybersecurity budget. So what strategies have you seen that help consolidate, standardize, and keep costs contained in the face of all these threats that Akshay just listed out for us?
Great question, Chris. When you start looking at these issues of let's think about it as a small staff, relatively dealing with a major problem and an ongoing problem and an evolving problem. One of the areas I see them investing or at least strategizing in is using managed services around their security infrastructure, right? By going into a managed services, they're able to leverage resources, get the skill sets that they need, and the intelligence to really evolve to or manage these evolving attacks, right? So all that comes together when they use the managed services. It means they don't have to make that investment, and it doesn't have to keep growing on them. So they get to control it at the same time. The other issue is the challenge with security tools overall. They multiply. Little bunnies, I think, is how you think about security tools. There's always another tool for something else. And organizations tend to get into the position they have more tools, honestly, than they need. And so they need to look at consolidation of these tools. And consolidation is something that saves money, it saves time. And at the end of the day, it often improves the overall security posture, believe it or not. And then the last piece is really leveraging the PE firms, right? Leveraging standardization that many of the PE firms are doing around certain tools that both gives comfort level, it also gives buying power in doing it. So a number of different strategies that these firms, the portcos themselves, can apply to working in a cost-constrained world.
Thanks, George. So that leads us to a discussion around zero trust. So this is for both of you. Let's examine more closely how zero trust architecture helps across a portfolio-wide cyber program journey. Akshay, what would you say are the first steps a company can take to get started?
Yeah, Chris, as you very well know, Zscaler is a pioneer in zero trust architecture, as you just described a few minutes back. And more so at Zscaler, we have had the privilege to work with the world's largest private equity firms. 70% of the world's PE funds are our customers and for their internal use case. And then there are hundreds and hundreds of their portfolio companies are looking at Zscaler to provide them with a journey to zero trust, a quick journey that they could accomplish and achieve through zero trust through our platform. And it kind of gives them a lot of advantages to from elevating their cyber posture to increasing their resiliency of the portfolio companies. So the advantages have been called out periodically, but I'll just still say it out loud a bit. Then, for all the companies that have been using Zscaler, they have dramatically reduced cyber threats by 80 to 85%. So you could definitely see that as a very plus, very big plus for Zscaler. They are also, to George's point, there is a lot of consolidation that Zscaler could provide. You're able to optimize the security spend by reducing the number of individual point products that you have deployed. And then the spend has, we have seen the spend drop between like 30 to 40% once deploying Zscaler. And last but not the least, I think zero trust is a journey, and we'll talk a lot more about it in a bit. But and accelerating the journey through Zscaler is definitely a plus. Now the other part of your question was that how are companies approaching this? How are the companies really looking at zero trust? So first things first, it should not be a daunting experience. It's that definitely needs to be somewhat of an experience that you need to have your organization go through, that they should not be having more of a painful attitude or painful kind of outcome coming out of it. So if you look at it, the first step is to challenge the status quo, the existing infrastructure. And IT functions. But undertaking a zero trust journey should not be so large and all-encompassing that it provides a bad taste in the mouth of individuals. So I think a couple of things that I'll close out with is that, primarily when organizations are getting into this kind of journey, they should answer two questions. Two most important questions. What are you trying to protect? And from whom you are trying to protect it from. And once you have answered those two questions, so you are able to, start with your critical assets, your crown jewels, and before implementing zero trust more broadly. And we know that it's not gonna happen with the flip of a switch, but and that's why it's important to take a phased approach and try to go through the journey in a very methodical manner.
George, we just heard Akshay talk about the zero trust journey from the perspective of, a vendor with a cloud solution. Now, very curious how a systems integrator looks at the same journey, and looking forward to your responses to some of Akshay's points.
Thank you. First of all, I love that we're talking about it as a journey. When I look at almost every one of our clients, they have some sort of a zero trust initiative going on, or at least planned or budgeted, et cetera. But the real question is, where are they on this journey that they need to take? And for us, when we look at clients, the journey starts actually before anything with the understanding of identity and access. If you don't have an IAM system well defined, well managed, and up to speed, you don't know who should have access, who should have access to which systems, and who should have privileged access, and all of these other aspects around it. So you need to start with, looking at your organization. And that's a broad term organization that can include partners, other people have access. Define IAM and keep it up to date, which is really hard when you have people being onboarded, people leaving, people changing organizations, organizations changing. And so automation is key in that. Now, once you get there, then, a product like Zscaler is what is, when I look at it, core to the zero trust architecture. That is the next step. And even implementing Zscaler to me is a journey. Matter of fact, Persistent is a Zscaler customer, and we went on that journey. We did what a number of Zscaler customers do is we implemented ZIA, the internet access portion of it first. We gained experience, we solved some real end user challenges by doing that. And then we went and further deployed over the next 9 months the rest of the Zscaler modules that are there. So even that piece is a journey. And then you look at other components that are part of what I consider that whole zero trust architecture and deployment, things like XDR. We went with CrowdStrike, which also happens to be a solid Zscaler partner, and the two products work well together. Other clients of ours, we look at network modernization because their network isn't set up for where they need to go. So it is really looking holistically at what I consider that zero trust journey that we work with our clients and we work jointly with Zscaler on.
Let's pivot now to talk about the successful zero trust implementations at Portcos and the criteria or the common themes that enable it. So maybe Akshay, which KPIs or metrics matter the most in this context?
Yeah, George, that's a great question. Before I address that, I wanted to just pick up something that George said, that zero trust itself is a journey, and then implementation of Zscaler is a journey. So the theme that just hit my head was that No, everyone who is looking to get on this journey, you should definitely start somewhere, start anywhere, but just start. There is definitely a journey that every organization will have to take. But now coming back to your question around, what the KPIs and metrics that matter the most for Portcos. So when it comes to adoption or implementation of Zero Trust, what we have seen is that amongst like PE firms and also their portfolio companies, and that the first thing is that they have to be willing to bypass the legacy mindset. When I say what do you mean by legacy mindset? It is the fact that you need to overcome doing what you know already. So for the last 40 years, everybody has done this the same way. There is a data center, there is a network, there is a network that connects different sites, different applications, different data centers across the globe. There's a topology, and once a user is on the network, the user is trusted and they can traverse laterally. So all of those things have been happening over the last, I would say, 40 years. So now I think what we are saying is that we are shaking up that piece of it and saying that, hey, look, the reality is that users are mobile. Applications are moving to the cloud. And we just laid out the statistics for you. Nearly a quarter of the mid-market companies are getting breached each year. So to effectively address that, we need to think differently. If we keep doing the same thing, we cannot expect different results. So as it relates to Zero Trust, what works well is just getting started, as I said at the onset. And it's totally normal to start small. Perhaps you can focus on a few key use cases. That is securing access to the open internet could be one. What the traffic going to open internet? Internet is a big threat for any organization. Are securing access to private applications. So those are some of the areas that we could start off with. And to George's point, and I would just endorse that they're taking a phased approach towards the Zero Trust journey is really useful. But taking these gradual incremental steps to get to the goal line. It's really important for both portfolio companies and PE firms, and cyber resiliency levels kind of improve over time as a result of that. And this bears out in the data when we see the overall levels of attacks decrease. But some of those KPIs need to be monitored and see those attacks vectors coming down and data points shared with the board and the executive team around that.
Yeah, it's a very important point about starting small and getting some wins could then coalesce into more support organization-wide for larger and larger projects that then accrue to your total transformation journey, right?
Yeah, and Chris, I would just say one last thing that, I mean, it would be, and I'll use this word, it would be foolish for any one of us to say that the risk is going to be 100% or the risk is going to be zero. Right, like by implementing any solution, the risk is going to be zero. So, but there are certain architectural differentiations that true zero trust architecture brings to the table that allows you to have that minimization of attack surface, which is in itself a big win. And you could then call that you have significantly minimized the attack surface, which kind of creates that to the near zero. Risk, but it cannot be like zero ever, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now we could get to a point where we start thinking about how the joint companies come together to offer the cyber programs and digital transformation projects that lead to value realization. In effect, like what can persistent systems and Zscaler do to get a 1 + 1 = 3 outcome for joint customers? So let's dig into that and talk about how you work with clients to ensure that the business case and value is realized. And George, maybe we'll start with you first.
Okay, thank you. First of all, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to this. So we start with what we bring is 1 + 1 = 3 together, right? With the partnership, each organization brings specialized skills, unique IP, and unique organizational specializations, whether it's vertically oriented, whether it's technology oriented. And we bring these together, just as you said, to ensure that the clients receive the best value, both in terms of their security, the security profile, the overall cost, but most importantly for anything today is how to measure the business outcome of it. And that's really where we drive that togetherness. And we have a 360-degree relationship between the firms, where we're both customers of each other. We have top-down alignment, CEO down to the services teams, and across the organization. So really well-aligned teams. Now, when we look at the engagements with PE firms, you can think about it as, a carve-out, for example, or M&A activity with a merger going on, or just a growing portco that is moving along its own zero trust journey. So if we take the portco, for example, they really are a strong candidate for something that is known as the business value assessment that the Zscaler team drives. And then we do that in conjunction with them. So understanding the business value that an organization can meet from implementing zero trust and changing the overall security posture, to me is just a great process that Zscaler's put together. And at the end of it, you end up with a plan. And that's really where Persistent comes in for the deployment based on that plan. And not just deploying the applications, but configuring, integrating with other systems so that you have a complete solution that then does get laid out. So I find that is where we really do come together well and leverage IP like the business value assessment with the services that we can provide. If I look at a carve-out, that's really a specialization that Persistent has. And we built playbooks, calculators, a number of different, and when I talk about IP, intelligent tools to lay out a complete IT infrastructure for the PE firm as it's going through this carve-out process, where you can define the different components. Do I want to be a Gmail or a, Outlook-based environment? What type of servers, what type of laptops? And this can all be put in the calculator to understand that full IT deployment. And then we look at the security side of it. And that's where we partner with Zscaler on that zero trust. We think zero trust is a critical example for these carve-out portcos as they, they're targets, right? Akshay was talking about it there. Everybody is a target today. And, they joke, right? You're the two types of companies, those that have been attacked and those that will be attacked. Those that have been attacked is really the larger number today. And they will be attacked again is the real issue around it. So in the carve-out, we can also leverage some special capabilities of the Zscaler product. We had a company that got carved out of CVS, for example, that still needed. It's called bswift. Many of you may know them. But they still needed access to some of the systems inside CVS as this whole process was going. But with the separation there, it was important to use zero trust and to be able to have the carve-out have access to the applications and data that they needed during this transition to keep the business running. Zscaler was able to provide that through a link that we put together through AWS, for example. So a lot we can do together to make this work. M&A to me is one of the most interesting areas because when I talk to large, Fortune 50 organizations, they struggle, let alone smaller organizations, when you bring an acquisition in, especially one that doesn't have the same level of security as you do. How can you isolate it so you're not impacted, yet still get the organization to work together? And that's back to where zero trust is just a perfect solution for that. Choose the trust level, choose what's trusted and who has access, and don't combine problems that aren't ready to be combined yet. So a lot of ways we can really work together and provide the right solutions for the different types of deals that PEs get involved in.
George, thanks for providing that color and detail. It's very powerful. Akshay, the same question for you about joint clients realizing business value.
Yeah, I think George covered it really well. We have been working together on different private equity firms across all those transaction types. It's a standard buyout, carve out, stand up, or any kind of add-on acquisition. So we have solutions to support all three different dimensions that private equity firms engage in through the ownership lifecycle of their portfolio companies. But I just wanted to be brief and talk a little bit about my philosophy here with Persistent and with any other partner, but Persistent is special to me. It's near and dear to my heart. So first, any partnership is centered around trust, you know, and trust to me is a function of intent, action, and results. And I must say that with a very strong conviction that Zscaler and Persistent partnership demonstrates all three aspects of trust, which is very, very powerful. You know, I mean, again, we have a number of partnerships and Persistent has a number of partnerships, but this partnership is special. You know, the second is that we have some guiding principles when we work together that we are going to keep in mind the best interest of our common PE clients and joint customers. And we take a very measured approach to ensure that. And our whole ammo together is to continue to provide value. And we are never let our guards down, and we never kind of let our clients think twice that, you know, the teams together working together are not providing value. We look at pre-deal alignment and identify the challenge areas jointly. We engage with the joint customers. We align with them. We ensure that recommendations are fit for purpose. None of us have ever tried to oversell or undersell. I mean, it has to be fit for purpose as to the size of the organization and the needs that they have. And finally, post-implementation, that's where some of the challenges start to come in, right? Like, and of course, having a very robust support ecosystem to help drive that is really, really important for us. And the last point I would make, Chris, here is that we make a concerted effort to meet our customers jointly, whether it's a portfolio company, CIO and CISO, along with an operating partner from the PE fund. We tend to make that connections with Persistent on the table, Zscaler on the table, operating partner and portfolio executives. So I think we want to build that continuity. We want to build that ability to have an open forum, an open dialogue, and seek feedback, constructive feedback, any kind of you know, things that we could improve upon. And we both have that DNA, and we both are really open to that. So I'm really proud of this relationship and work that we're doing together.
Yeah, that consultative, trusted advisor aspect that you're describing is definitely something that companies are looking for in this complex process. But in this business, speed and simplicity is everything, right? In terms of the value. So securing the environment and the infrastructure is paramount, but doing it in a way that is fast and simple is equally important. George, can you dive into how that can be accomplished with the joint partnership here?
Absolutely. And, you know, we can engage, first of all, in these at sort of any point in the process. So it can be in the diligence and actually working together. We can provide diligence information to the BE firm, both on the security state of a potential carve-out, for example, as well as the overall IT postures to get things moving quickly and really come out with a plan through that diligence process. I talked about the playbooks and calculators. That's all about speed. And then the fact that we've worked together on so many of these already, we know how to do it together. And, you know, it's all about meeting the TSA timelines, or actually beating the TSA timelines. And that is a focus we have. And, you know, it still needs testing has to be done. It has to work, all those other pieces of it. But the processes are in place to really make that happen. And as you say, make that happen quickly, but safely. And we both have strong partner ecosystems, right? Because there are other pieces of it. And the fact that the Zscaler and Persistent partner ecosystems overlap so much, being able to bring the other components together and make them work together. I talked about CrowdStrike as an example. Okta is another good example on the IAM side where we have joint strong partnerships that can make all of this happen. And so it is about being able to quickly engage, have that trust level that Akshay talked about, so we know we can trust each other as partners, reliably work together, and at the end of the day, ensure that it is deployed, it's working, and they're safe.
Thank you. For the last part of our webinar, gentlemen, let's focus on some evidence, right? We're talking about a lot of practices, a lot of activities that make a lot of sense on paper. The economic justification is there. We mentioned carve-outs a few times. Maybe if we drill into some examples, Akshay, maybe you could start with some case studies.
Absolutely. So I think, Chris, as you may know, carve-outs are mostly transactions where large corporations are spinning out their non-core businesses, and they're being grabbed by private equity firms because they could do some better job with that business and as a standalone business. Are increasing in popularity. There's a carve-out announced almost on a daily basis. And PE funds are front and center of that as well, and from a buy-side perspective. So, these transactions are inherently complex. They're not easy. They're both sell side and buy side. They need to provide a lot of effort that goes in on both sides, sell side and buy side. There is a unique opportunity to separate and stand up the business. So, you know, the sell side is getting done with the business and in a parting ways with the business in a clean manner, and the buy side is able to run the business efficiently as they want to run it, right? So most of the firms in these kind of situations, they take they want to streamline the newly created business, and the couple of principles that they adopt is like cloud first approach. We're going to go cloud first, which is pretty logical. And then fit for purpose solutions. I've used the fit for purpose tongue in cheek. So fit for purpose piece quite a few times. And then also the third guiding principle that they have typically is to future proof. Because I think during the ownership lifecycle, 3 to 5 years, they do not want to come back and have an archaic technology when they're looking to exit. So they want to future proof as well. So, in doing so, the building blocks are coming from technology. Like IT plays a very critical role, and you know, it shapes the new company, the direction that it's going to go, and how efficient and effective it would be. And if you think about it, Zscaler and Persistent, George, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but probably we are on our seventh carve-out right now. And last, I would say 8 months or so, Persistent and Zscaler have worked on several different carve-outs for several different private equity firms, and standing them up together. And as Persistent mentioned, like, there is more that it takes beyond Zscaler to stand up the IT infrastructure applications and security framework for the NewCo, but Zscaler plays an integral part in doing so. And since Persistent and Zscaler have common partners, we partnered with some other firms as well. So a lot of great examples that we can share, Chris, but you know, the numbers speak for itself that we are on a roll, and we want to continue to drive this carve-out stand-up approach with Persistent.
Thank you. And to be fair, I should give George an opportunity to answer the same question, maybe framed in a way of, you know, how do you project that confidence for clients that they're going to be more competitive, they're going to be profitable if they choose Zscaler and Persistent?
Happy to go that way. It actually lets me go back to an earlier comment I had about Persistent being a customer of Zscaler's. And, you know, one of the ways, and when we have critical partnerships, important relationships, it's valuable that, I'm going to use my boss's term because it's nicer than my term, that we drink our own champagne. And we do that with Zscaler, right? We went through the business value assessment. We made a decision on deployment, and we did deploy all of the Zscaler functionality. Now, the good news is what happens at the end of that? What was the value we received? Well, our security posture did increase by the high end of Akshay's note there that he mentioned before, 85%. Interestingly, we eliminated almost half of the tools, security tools within our infrastructure. And the savings from eliminating tools is not just improving security posture because we have better solutions, but we don't have to patch all those tools, upgrade all those tools, get, false positive reports from all those tools. The time operational savings is enormous. So when you put together all of that, we're saving $2 million a year through our implementation of Zscaler. And our users, our employees are so pleased with the overall improvement in user experience, ease of use, not signing into VPNs, all sorts of things around that. And then based on that experience is how we developed our own IP in terms of deploying Zscaler, in terms of some of its, documents and processes. Other is IP that actually aids in the onboarding of applications into the Zscaler environment to, reduce the time to deploy, all of the time issues we talked about. So that's what makes me confident in talking to the PE firms and talking to the portcos about the benefits they're going to get.
Thanks, George. For this last question, and both of you could take a stab at it, it's your final thoughts that I'm looking for around how the cyber programs we help facilitate for these clients lead to perhaps a strategic lever that goes beyond security, but sets them forward for more gains and more success down the road. Akshay, do you want to take that one first?
Well, absolutely. I think, as I mentioned, I may not have mentioned this in this this conversation that we have been working with about 51 plus PE funds today, and they all at a different levels of maturity and program structure. Some have very robust programs that they have built, a portfolio-wide cyber program. They have dedicated teams, and some others perhaps are just embarking on their journey, and some have like some mixed bag from external resources and consultants and doing some maturity assessments now and then. But if you think about it, that this is becoming the direction that most of the PE funds are taking now is that on the extreme right, they want to have a structured cyber program because it's been proven, like market-leading firms like Blackstone and KKR and Warburg Pincus and Apollo and you name it, Goldman Sachs, and I can go on and on, Permira. A lot of those firms have had a pretty robust program that has been put in place across their portfolio companies. So that's, I think, it's becoming more and more prominent in terms of the approach that they want to take. So what do these programs really do? I think the programs that they do is that they provide the PE-backed companies, which are within their portfolio, with a structure. They provide them with the control framework and access to leading technologies like Zscaler and access to leading service providers like Persistent, because as they rinse and repeat across their portfolio companies, they see the benefits coming out of it. It becomes pretty evident to spread the love among other PE portfolio companies as well. The other part that is often overlooked with these cyber programs, Chris, to be honest, is around they play a very critical role in preserving deal value. Okay. So we talked about some statistics. I mean, 4.2 million or something like that, average cost of the breach, or 245 days for that breach to kind of be discovered. So I think having a robust cyber program not only allows you to have that insurance and assurance within your portfolio companies, but it also that the risk is minimized, so you are able to preserve the deal value. You are able to avoid the security breaches and incidents. You are able to overall reduce the cost of remediation because the damage is not as much as it would have been if there was no program in place. And then if you think about it from a perspective, and George alluded to this fact as well, that in an economies of scale, so if you are standardizing your tool set, if you're standardizing your service providers, what is happening with that is that you're achieving those economies of scale. You can negotiate better pricing with the vendors whom you're selecting. And that can have a direct impact on the portfolio company's EBITDA. because you're now kind of directly giving them the cost benefit of working with a PE fund broadly across their portfolio to allow them to pass on those cost advantages and preferred pricing advantages to the portfolio companies, which makes it very attractive to the bottom line.
Thanks, Akshay. I'll let George also give his final thoughts around this topic for Portcos.
So, sort of building on top of what Akshay said, because there was a lot there that was great. I'll cover it a little differently, which is, when I look at security and I look at, the business, there are a lot of areas that it's important that if you don't have security, it's going to impact your business. So, supply chain to me is one of the classic ones. If you're not protecting properly, it can impact your supply chain. It can impact how suppliers work with you. So, supply chain's a key aspect of it. From our business, our ability to access customer systems and environments. If we aren't secure, they don't want us on their systems, right? So there's that back and forth. Another aspect of it we haven't talked about today, but is critical is insurance. You have to have cyber insurance. Many cases, you can't get it today without having the proper secure infrastructure in place. And then even if you can get it, the cost is prohibitive. Again, unless you have the right security posture, the right tools, the right processes, all of those things. So to me, this now becomes a board issue, an executive issue. And the fiduciary responsibilities are getting more and more serious around it. So you need the tools to give you the visibility. You need the processes in place to meet the requirements of it. All of this has to come together. And when I think of PE firms, you're sitting on a lot of boards, just mentioning that. I think this becomes critical from the overall business structure and the overall operation of the business. And I think that's a good place to end that.
Absolutely, George. You put a nice capstone on top of our discussion today. I want to thank you and Akshay for taking the time out of your busy schedule to update the market on this important collaboration. I'm sure the audience found it as enlightening as I did. And with the insights that you shared, private equity firms and their portfolio companies can ensure that their carve-outs, their acquisitions, and divestitures are always under the protection of a secure infrastructure and work environment.
Thanks for listening to the CIO Evolution. Check back with your podcast provider regularly for more episodes. You can find more episodes along with other podcasts on the CXO Revolutionaries website at revolutionaries.zscaler.com. Statements by Zscaler podcasters and guests are informational only and should never be construed as legal advice. You should consult your legal advisor on matters related to you or your business. Zscaler makes no warranties, express, implied, or statutory as to the content of this podcast, and it is provided as is. Content on this podcast may contain forward-looking statements that are current as of the date of the recording and subject to change. These statements are subject to the safe harbor provisions created by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Full legal disclaimers are available at revolutionaries.zscaler.com. Copyright 2021.